Lord, we thank you for being with us here today. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this offering that we're able to offer to you, and we give it to you wholeheartedly and pray your blessing on it. We thank you for the lives, as John's pointed out, the lives, the precious lives that you've given us. We want to offer these as living sacrifices to you in everything, in every way. And so I pray from your word you'll teach us and show us how to be your disciples and how to be your people, that we may walk with you and we may live a life that is meaningful and purposeful as we live in your presence and walking with you each day. Speak to us now, I ask, through your spirit and by your word. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Life works with Jesus, doesn't it? You sure? Yeah. Resounding sort of response to that. Life works with Jesus. Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Okay. Yeah. Good. Now, I believe we've been looking at these a few things over the last few weeks. Different sort of just areas of life, and you think, okay, well, how does life with Jesus work better when we live with Jesus in these things? So, I do believe, and I know for a fact, and my life and I know as I look around and different people who I know, their lives, that applying the teaching of Jesus, living with the Holy Spirit, does change many aspects of our life for the better. Yeah. So in our finances, we've talked about money. Even in our driving, we've talked about driving. When it comes to dealing with failure, in all of these type things we've talked about so far, I would say that walking with Jesus, life is better in those things if you're living with Jesus in that. Okay, so, but I'm not going to pretend that Jesus changes everything for the better. And what I mean by that is there are some things. Today we're going to be talking about doing the washing. Okay, I'm not going to pretend that just because you're Christians, your clothes are somehow slightly cleaner than the rest of the world around. Okay, I'm not going to pretend that, you know, when I come to your house that your cutlery is just slightly more sparkling than a non-believer, and I go to a believer's house, I think, oh, it's just so unclean in this place. I'm not going to pretend that being a Christian actually makes that better, okay? You know, just because you have the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't give you that extra boost in your washing power. But what I do want to look at today is just how living with Jesus does bring more meaning to areas of our life that sometimes can be a bit meaningless. And so we're going to talk about washing today. Okay? And now to do that, so when I'm talking about washing, you know, we do the washing, right? The washing of our clothes, the washing of the car, the washing of the dishes, all of those things. Now, to find a bit more meaning in those things, we're going to have to adopt a sacramental worldview. Okay? Repeat that after me. Sacramental worldview. Yes. Oh, what? Yes. What does that mean? A sacramental worldview is what I'm talking about. That is where the invisible God is revealed to us in visible and tangible things. Okay, so we know communion and things like communion and baptism. We know them as sacraments. Okay, they're physical, tangible things, things you can touch, things you can taste, that minister to us the truth of God. Yeah. And the teaching of the church and through scripture, these become sacraments. Not everything is a sacrament, but there are some things the Bible says, you know, a good example is, this is my body. So here's Jesus teaching that this makes this bread more meaningful than just a sandwich. This is something else here. And in it, he's ministering something of himself to us through a physical thing. We understand that. Same with baptism. And I could go on. But a sacramental worldview sort of encompasses that idea, and while I'm not saying everything is a sacrament in that sense, I'm saying that there is something that we can appreciate of God through the world we live in. So it may be a burning bush or a talking donkey. Not every burning bush is God, and not every donkey is God speaking to us. But there are times where God uses the physical world to speak to us. But it may be, so I'm guessing, I don't know, maybe some of you have heard a talking donkey. I'm sure many of the children probably would tell you that. They have, or experienced the burning bush, but maybe we have experienced something similar to that. I know sometimes, I talk to people and they say, well, this spoke to me, that spoke to me. It might be the clear night sky when you look up at the stars, particularly if you go on holiday somewhere out of Addleston and you look up and you actually see the stars. God speaks to us through things like that, doesn't he, sometimes? Or just watching a spider spin its web, or, the smell of fresh baked bread, or I don't know, just the touch of a baby's skin, the newness of that. There are things like that where God can speak to us through those things. Can do. Now, St. Ignatius, has everyone heard of St. Ignatius? He was a Spanish soldier, so I found out. He turned into a Catholic priest about 500 years ago. And he nearly lost his life, actually, on the battlefield. So it was as a result of that, if I get the story right. He said he developed this of discipleship, and he said to his followers, find God in all things. Find God in all things. And it made me think of that scripture in Romans where it says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There's almost sort of saying, even if you didn't have the Bible, and even if you didn't have people around you who are Christians telling you, you can find God in all things. So today, we're going to consider how life works with Jesus when we do the washing. And hopefully that may inspire you to sort of think beyond washing as well, but just think of life more in a sacramental, with a more of a sacramental worldview, and actually see, I can find Jesus in many different situations. I'm not saying that they're sacraments as like we would call communion, but that actually God can speak to us and minister himself to us through everything he's created, because by the way, he did create it. It's important to remember that, and so that actually through physical and tangible things and things that we do and things that we act with each day, God can speak to us. So let's get to the washing. Alright, how many people enjoy doing the washing up? Reg, yeah. Yeah, okay. How about the washing, just the washing of the clothes? Anyone a big fan of that? You like washing clothes? There we go. I have to say, I have a little sort of, I quite enjoy hoovering. I did a bit of hoovering yesterday, just quite satisfying. But some people do, some people don't. I'm guessing most of us most of the time find it a little bit tedious, a bit sort of menial, and sort of something that has to be done. It takes time, doesn't it? It takes effort. I'm sure you'd be rather doing other things. I doubt if there's anybody who starts making a meal. You're starting chopping the vegetables, and then you put them in the oven, and you start to smell the garlic and the onions. And you think at that beginning point to yourself, I just really can't wait to do the washing up. You don't start making a meal like that, do you? Well, I mean, a little bit odd if you do. But, we look forward to the food, but then if you wash up after a roast, it's pretty horrendous. Thank you, that's a good word. I didn't put that in my notes, but I should have done. Horrendous, yes, okay. Depends on your style of cooking, of course, but horrendous can be a way. Or maybe you don't go around the shops and you think, oh, I like the look of that shirt. That's going to look really, it's going to be really good when I hang it up on the washing line. It's just not the way we go about life, is it? Washing in itself is often very dull. It's a tedious thing, and it's something we don't really look forward to. I'm guessing as well, I would come to your house, maybe you might cook some food, and I say, oh, very tasty chicken. But you're unlikely to expect me to sort of say, wow, look at these knives and forks, they're so clean, so different to my house. Anyway. You get the idea. I think there's part of us, when we're washing as well, there's a sort of a futility in the task, because you're washing something and you know that it's only going to get dirty again. I mean, how many times have you washed something up and then somebody's cooking in the background, and then you find that the dish that you've just washed and you put there, and then you find it's back here and you think, I've just washed this. It just seems a bit pointless. So how can we find some meaning in this? How can we find God in all things? How can we find Jesus in our washing? We're going to come back to that scripture that Keith read during communion. You can turn to it if you like in John chapter 13. And let's think about Jesus and washing for a moment. John chapter 13, just going to read the first bit, which says, it was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus tied a towel around his waist, filled a basin with water, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and he wiped them with the towel that was wrapped around him. See, Jesus is a God who does the washing. He cleanses us from our sins. And he has washed us, and as this, as we go on a bit, Keith read out later on, Jesus goes on to say to Peter, "You've already had a bath. You just need to have your feet washed." You know, he continues to wash us. It continues to do the maintenance on us, if you like. Now it's interesting if you think about it. Jesus didn't so much explain or theorize what he was going to do on the cross. You know, he didn't have some great kind of, here's what I'm going to do, and give you the whole kind of, I mean, ever since the cross happened, theologians have tried to put into words what happened and how it happened, and there's probably arguments and discussions about it. But what he did is he gave us some sacramental gifts to experience the reality of the sacrificial offering of the washing of the cross. So he washed the disciples' feet. He did something where the smell and the feel of the dirt was removed so that they would know what was going to happen on the cross. He didn't talk so much about it, he just did something. He gave us bread and wine that we could taste and ingest and understand something of the sacrifice and of the washing. And if you think about it, the baptism as well is another thing. It's a very physical thing where when you're baptized, you know what it is to experience death and life. So that's just what Jesus did. He gave us things to experience, to touch, to taste, to feel, so that we would know what was happening on the cross. And so on the cross, what Jesus was saying as he was washing his feet is, I'm going to wash you clean. I'm going to wash you clean of your sin. So that's the backdrop. So now let's make the leap now. So we've got our marigolds on. Okay, so this is going from the sublime to the ridiculous, I know. But just take a moment to think what you're doing. You see, washing takes a degree of humility, doesn't it? It's a lowly task. It's associated with a servant rather than with a king. If you never really feel like royalty when you've got the marigolds on, do you? You don't sort of think, oh, I'm just feeling like a king now. Horrendous, as Wendy says, you know, sort of scraping the grease off the plates, or, you know, pulling out sort of football kit or whatever in the washing basket. And you don't feel like a king. You feel more like a servant, possibly even a slave sometimes. And oftentimes, doing the washing, you're doing things where you're cleaning things that you haven't made dirty yourself. I thought to myself as I was hoovering the floor the other day, you know. It's a humble task. And if we think on that humility, we think on the humility of Jesus, who was the king, but he was also the servant king. He was the servant king. And he made himself nothing, didn't he? He took off his outer clothes and he wrapped himself in a towel and he made himself nothing to be like a servant to these disciples of his. And it takes extraordinary, us sort of doing the washing up for, you know, Reggie's doing the washing up for Wendy because she can't use her hand at the moment. So there's a bit of service there, you know. But scale that up to what Jesus did on the cross. And you see huge humility. So when we're doing the washing, maybe in that, and we're feeling a bit like a servant or a bit like a slave, maybe it's just take a moment just to reflect on the nature of Jesus. Washing, it costs us. It costs us to buy. We have to buy soap. We have to buy detergent, don't we? And I found that good washing up liquid is costly. It's important. I don't know, but when we go to my in-laws, they seem to get the cheap washing up, and it doesn't last as long. Do you notice that? And you put it in, and the bubbles are gone, and nothing comes. The grease doesn't come off. But if you buy good quality fairy liquid, don't want to advertise. You know, yeah. Well, I'm just saying it cuts through the grease a lot better. You know, maybe I'm not being paid to say this. So it costs money, but it costs our time, doesn't it? It costs time to do the dishes or the washing. It doesn't just do itself. There's a process involved, you know, getting a bit of hard egg that's been dried on hard onto a pan that isn't non-stick. That takes a bit of time. It costs us effort as well. Sometimes at the end of it, your back aches. The other day, I was trying to get some rice off the pan, and I got a bit of rice up your finger, dried rice. Oh, yes, some of you experienced that. I was in pain for days. I couldn't use my thumb. It was hard, difficult to play the piano and everything. It's costly sometimes, washing up, isn't it? Takes us time and effort, and, you know, okay, so maybe it doesn't actually cost that much, but scale that up as well, and you look to Jesus, and it cost him to come to earth, to leave heaven. It cost him something to endure the pain and suffering of the separation of the Father. And our salvation was costly. So when we're considering our cost, just consider his cost. There is a cost paid for our salvation. And when we understand that, because I think sometimes we think, oh, okay, well, maybe we don't think, but sometimes we live like Jesus clicked his fingers and everything was okay. But actually, there was huge sacrifice. Sometimes I think we miss it because we just say, I'm forgiven and that's it, and I kind of move on. But actually, there was huge sacrifice to pay for our sin and to wash us clean. So the next time we're doing our hands that do dishes that are soft as our face and all of that, you know, and we're making things dazzling white, remember that as we offer ourselves and there is a cost involved in what we're doing, there is a great cost involved in our salvation. And just be thankful for that. You know, I mean, I'm sure Wendy is very grateful at the moment. You know, thank you, Reg, for doing the dishes, you know. And it is a thankless task, but oftentimes we do say, thanks for doing the dishes. But actually, thank Jesus for the cost he has made for us. And the next time we pour water into a basin, remember that he poured water into a basin too. Last one of these. You know, when we wash things, often we get dirty in the process. The thing that's horrendous about a roast is that you end up with greasy hands and grease everywhere. You know, if you try getting dirt off a bike or a car, you come back in the house, don't you, with... And you look like the car used to look. The car looks fine and the bike looks fine, but now you look rather like the inside of the engine. Because the dirt has to go somewhere, doesn't it? The dirt has to go somewhere. It doesn't just sort of disappear. Again, you can't just magic wand it and ding. Maybe it does in the advert, but actually the dirt has to go somewhere. And think again on Jesus. When he washed the disciples' feet, he wiped them with a towel he was wearing. So they weren't using soap, I'm guessing. There's no mention of fairy liquid here in John 13. He just washed them with water. So I don't know if you've tried washing with water, but it's not as effective as with some kind of soap. So as he's wiping the feet with the towel, what's happening? All that dirt, all that smell, think on that, comes onto the towel he's wearing. Can you see that? What's happening there? Because the dirt has to go somewhere. And again, Jesus is giving us this very physical reality of when he was on the cross, the sin of the world came on him. It says in 1 Peter, he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we may die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. He took the dirt on himself because we couldn't wash away our own sin. He took the dirt on himself. God, it says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So the next time you're washing up after roast dinner and the grease gets all over you, or you get grime up your fingernails when you clean the car. Let it just speak to you of what Jesus has done for us. And he's taken our sin on himself. Now, you may think, well, these are slightly twee ideas, you know. These are object lessons that, you know, maybe the kind of thing that Emma might use on a Sunday school lesson, you know, these are just sort of twee ideas. But I think in a deep and a real way, God allows us to find him in all things. And so there is a sacramental connection between washing and what Jesus has done. If you stop and think about the process of what you're doing. The thing is, we're quite disconnected from this way of thinking now, particularly in the modern world, because we've invented machines to get rid of all these tasks. A lot of times we've got a washing machine, got a dishwasher, even a car wash. So all of those things, all of this tedious stuff is taken away from us. But when you have a moment, and you actually do even have a moment, just take some time and just think what you're doing and how this speaks to you of something of God. Jesus tied a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin, and he washed the disciples' feet, and he wiped them with the towel he was wearing. So when you're doing the washing, realize that you're enacting something Christ-like. I'm not saying you're bringing salvation to the world when you're, you know, getting a bit of, you know, tomato sauce off the plate. But you are enacting something Christ-like. And rather than thinking of washing as something simply so that things get dirty again, keep the washing of Jesus in mind. Because his washing brings renewal and restoration. And it just changes our mindset. So rather than thinking, oh, I'm washing up at the end of this long roast dinner, actually, you're washing up so that we can have another roast dinner. It's the beginning of something rather than the end of something. See, when Jesus washes us, it brings new life, doesn't it? And so as we live in that, life is a lot more open and optimistic and hope-filled when we say, I'm washing this now so that tomorrow I can eat again. Or I'm washing these clothes again so that tomorrow I can be presentable in front of the people, rather than thinking, here I go again, I've got to wash this because it's got dirty. Does that make sense? It's just a change of mindset. It's a kingdom washing. We could set up our own company. Clean clothes to make you for a new day. Find God in all things. Now, I just want to just finish with just a few things that we can maybe pray into. You know, just recently we've set up in our disabled toilet, there's a towel and some soap and some stuff. So when people come to food bank, if they come in and they're on the street or they're in a situation where they need a wash, they can come and wash in our bathroom. Let's pray. I mean, because that is a ministry in itself. Do you know how, what's the word? When you're dirty, you feel dirty. You know, when you smell, you don't feel as though you fit in. You know, and there again is a picture in itself, because we when we are sin, we can't come before God. You know, in that, but we don't, we kind of tend to forget all of this because we live in such a kind of disconnected world, I think, sometimes. But actually, there is a reality. When you are dirty, you're not presentable. And so let us pray for those people. We'll take a moment to pray in a minute. For the people that come and use those facilities, that they would know something as they are cleansed outwardly. There is a restoration of them, that they're able to live new again. But also that they would know that in some way, know that internally as well, and they would know spiritually that Jesus washes them clean and they're presentable. So that's one thing to pray for. And so it's a ministry of clean clothes, both practically and spiritually. I just want to encourage, if anyone hasn't been baptized, I'm just throwing some ideas out that have come out from this as I'm thinking. If you haven't been baptized, then this is a great thing. It's a great thing that Jesus ministers to us the reality of coming from death to life, from becoming new again. So, we have a baptistry. If you've not noticed, it's that think that Leslie's kind of the most in it at the moment, but it's just under there. Talk to me. We can get that arranged. I would even say, you know, that there's... Do you remember the Jews had these ceremonial hand-washing rituals? And I think because we are Christians and we're particularly Protestant Christians, we kind of shy away from anything like that. But actually, there may be something in our worship, maybe in your personal devotion, where actually it's just helpful to do something where you wash yourself and say, I know that through this, Jesus has made me clean. And you can experience something of the cleansing of God. Just something there. And the final one's slightly off, but this is something I've just done over the last couple of months. It's just, again, it came from the Baptist conference. When you're putting the washing out, isn't pairing up the socks. God, dear me. We have a bag of socks about this big with all odd socks. Continually. It's like the Gehenna of this eternal fire of odd socks, you know, that never goes away. If you ever get thrown in there, you never get out. You know, it's kind of, I don't know how it happens. We do manage to save some from the fire. But when you put, sorry, I've digressed. When you put out the washing, I've just done this a few times. Consider those items of clothing. Why don't you pray for the people that may be your clothes, that may be your family's clothes? But I started particularly with the children, just like, well, here's their socks. I want to pray that they would know what it is to go with the gospel and have those feet, blessed feet. When you play, they've got a shirt. I want to pray for the protection of their righteousness in their body. Very simple. I mean, you're not kind of saying a 5-minute prayer over each sock, all right? I'm not talking about this, but it's just actually a beautiful way of praying, because it starts to cause you to think of all kinds of things. Oh, well, this shirt is worn at school, so let her learn well this week, you know, those kind of things. And I pray for Louise, you know, let her teach well, you know, let her. And you can just form all kinds of, it just sparks your imagination. So it brings me, and maybe you can do the same for your washing up, you know. Let's have a great meal next time, you know. Does that make sense? Because in doing so, we can find God in all things. Finding God in all things. Now, maybe you don't do the washing much. Maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about. Maybe some of the men are thinking, washing? What's washing? There's clean clothes just appear. Well, let's thank God for them. But maybe just there are other things in your life where you just think, well, this is tedious, but let's just see how God can speak to us through just the very, very simple things and find him in them. Let's pray. I'm going to pray specifically for our room, our bathroom. But let's just pray now and find God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful story of what you did just before you went to the cross. And that Passover meal, as Keith said, it's just, we don't talk about the meal so much, but actually that beautiful and intimate moment where you washed the disciples' feet. And we thank you that you are a God who puts on a towel, pulls out a basin of water, and washes us, and wipes the muck off us with the towel that's wrapped around you. And I pray as we do our washing and as we go about our daily lives and do our things, that we would understand and appreciate some of those things, that we would just think on. Even if we're just washing something very simply, we would just know and think on the cleansing you've brought into our lives. And thank you that we are made right with you as a result. We're made clean in your sight and clean in the world that we live in. And just enable us just to see things differently as we are now anew, that we are renewing things and we're being renewed by you. So teach us through our washing. Let us find you in all things. And I want to pray particularly, Lord, as we have these things set up here, we want to pray that folk that come in and use our facilities here would know a renewing of them on the outside, and they would find confidence and restoration in their physical bodies on an outward sense. But I pray also in an inward sense you would bring renewal and cleansing in their lives. We desire to see people washed and renewed and come into new life, inwardly and outwardly. Lord, so we thank you and bless you. I pray, open our eyes to see you more and more each day. In all kinds of ways, we pray. Amen.